The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine in the house. So much more than a producer. How you doing, Kelly? You good?
Yeah, good.
Did I say proudly brought to you by BetMGM? I don't even remember what I said just
now. I don't know.
Okay.
I think we've got another drill incident going on behind me right now.
Oh, do we? What do you mean?
You're not hearing that?
Oh, no, I'm not hearing it. Was it a fire drill thing?
Yeah, keep going.
I'll hear it. I'm sure the audience
might have to shut down some construction work again. You know?
A little jackhammering going on back there. Kelly Bidlin, show bouncer. We'll see if he has it. We'll see if there's an incident this segment. Let's talk some football. Let's bring in our own Mike Pritchard, who's kind enough to hang out with us each and every Wednesday on the show. He played the game, first round draft pick, national champion, and VSiN host. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Great to see you.
All right.
I have a few questions. First of which is, so last week we talked all football on the network because the betting guide came out on Thursday. I hope everybody gets that at VSiN.com/subscribe. Out super early so people could sort of digest it. Everybody was given picks on there. My question for you that I asked of someone else last week was there something that, you know, having been, you know, sort of nudged into diving into football perhaps earlier and heavier than you're normally used to at this stage of the summer, was there something last week that crystallized in your brain, either to the good or to the bad, about a team that you hadn't really thought about before, where you're like, oh, I didn't see this. Maybe this is something that I didn't anticipate.
You know what? I'm taking a second, a third, and perhaps a fourth look at the Denver Broncos, to be honest with you, Gil. If everything about that organization or about that team, who has not been to the playoffs since, what, 2015, right? The Peyton Manning era. I think if everything about that team centers around their quarterback and the fact of Russell Wilson just simply becoming what Russell Wilson was when he first got to the league, I mean, that seems like it's doable, right? I mean, he's very, very talented. We know that. It's just the ego and the persona that he wants to present. The whole let's ride thing. I mean, how plastic was that last year? I mean, and everybody can see through it, right?
Yeah.
If he just humbles himself and becomes a football player and becomes all about the team and not try to elevate himself out the locker room like he did in Seattle, like he continued to do once he first got to Denver. And I think Sean Payton might be the type of coach, the authoritative coach, the assertive head coach that team needs right now. So I've been taking a third and a fourth look at that football team just to see. I know they went out in free agency. They were very aggressive. They basically bought themselves a football team. If it all comes together and this quarterback can play better, I think the Broncos can surprise people this year.
Okay, I don't want to gloss over that awkward and cringy thing about Russell Wilson because we've talked about it on this show many times. I'm sure others have as well, where when they do mic up Russell Wilson, right, it is – like, it is cringy. I don't use that word about anyone else in pro sports and that I can even think of. And so you played the game. Like, have you played with guys like that where you feel like the, I don't know if it, in the case of Russell Wilson, it's this inauthenticity that sort of seems to ring out in terms of him trying to be the leader. Like, it's one thing you were in Seattle all those years, you just arrived in Denver and it just came off weird. Did you ever play with someone like that where you don't have to give names, but where you're sort of like, oh, and it just doesn't work?
You know what, Gil, nobody comes to mind. And here's the reason. I think in my day, you were exposed early. Like, you know, in today's football, I think you can hide behind social media. You know, you can hide behind a lot of other aspects, your brand, right, and all that kind of thing. You know, back then, we had the quarterback club, quarterbacks separated themselves. But for the most part, as players, we were united because we were trying to do what's best for the league and do what's best for the union, and that was free agency and band together. So nobody came across that way as fake. You go back to Ricky Waters when he said for who, for what. And that thing, I tell you what, that was crazy, right? If you think about it, I'm not going to go over the middle. I'm not going to sacrifice this, you know, all the things that came with that. And that got blown up, right? But you know, he was being real, but yet he's a borderline Hall of Fame type of player too. So I think for Russell, and here's where it gets correlative for me, is I was looking at the Comeback Player of the Year award odds, and he's at 25-1. I mean, you shop around a little bit. DeMar Hamlin is the leader in the clubhouse, if you will. But yet I look at the depth chart of Buffalo and I'm like, how is he going to get on the field and really contribute at a high enough level to win Comeback Player of the Year? Maybe if he just steps on the field, that's Comeback Player of the Year.
I think considering what,
yeah, considering what he went through. Right. But if you look at the odds here, you know, 20-1, you shop around a little bit, but if Hamlin's not playing a lot, you know, and so, certainly Russell Wilson and the Broncos are surprising, there's a narrative, right? And so that one's intriguing to me, looking at this market right there for you know, that correlative betting.
Yeah.
When you look at the Broncos and surprise, and certainly Russell Wilson rebounding as well.
I do think that's worth bringing. I know I'm, you know, I famously was screaming with Kelly, you know, a couple months ago. Did they almost die on the field? Meaning that DeMar Hamlin's got to be the Comeback Player of the Year if he even plays a snap, right?
Right.
But maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Like if he isn't a contributor of any kind, maybe there is a narrative for someone else, and Russell Wilson would certainly be on that short list. And it is a way, we just talked about this a couple segments ago with Drew, about you can bet some of these other markets by proxy. And we were referring to Mike Tomlin. If Pittsburgh won that division, that Mike Tomlin at 25-1 might be the more sensible bet than a Pittsburgh plus 450 to win the division. You're sort of indicating another way to perhaps bet the Denver Broncos' success this year with a Russell Wilson comeback player of the year. Let me go back to coach of the year for a second that we had with Drew. Is there a coach that stands out to you? Again, narrative, right? Looking for a path where this particular person, this particular head coach might be able to snag the award. Dan Campbell and Sean Payton are the only ones in single digits right now. Is there someone else that you have your eye on?
You know, Matt LaFleur is interesting because of Jordan Love, you know, that whole thing. You know, you kind of separate yourself from Aaron Rodgers, and if you're highly successful, say Green Bay does win a division, right? Okay, there's your coach of the year, I would think, because you're doing it without that great quarterback. You're doing it without, you know, back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and so truly your coaching acumen would be right there. You know, that's where I would look. And you know, certainly I mentioned Sean Payton already, and you know, in the Broncos, and the Broncos have not been to the playoffs since 2015, like I mentioned. But Dan Campbell, look, the Lions have not been to the playoffs since, what, 2010? Something like that. So, you know, I see why he's a favorite. That's not a bad price, too, to be honest with you, plus 850. But, no, LaFleur is the one question mark, the big question mark that I have with all the coaches right now this year.
I think that's as good an answer as any, though, right? Because if Jordan Love does, and I've said this, and this goes back to your day playing, and I always talk about this, forgive me for repeating this to folks, but it's back in the day, backup quarterbacks held the clipboard. And oftentimes when they did that for years under the same coaching staff, they ended up being surprisingly great when they finally got on the field because they had all those years to, you know, be under one system. The tutelage of that really was driven home. And again, with Washington, a team that you were familiar playing back in your day, Mark Rippon, Stan Humphries, Trent Green, all of them examples of guys who sat there for years and then when they got their chance were really good quarterbacks in the NFL and got their teams, you know, in Rippon's case, as far as the whole title. Humphries to a Super Bowl, Trent Green, had he not got hurt, who knows? So there is that with Jordan Love. Like, I think the assumption that he's going to stink is not a good assumption to have. And if he is successful and the Packers do anything, Matt LaFleur will be the guy that gets so much of that credit. I think it makes a ton of sense. 16-1 right now, Coach of the Year, DraftKings.
Yeah.
Here's the other way I want to ask this about, and it doesn't have to be about last week and thinking more about football, but just in general, when we look at teams this year, you know, you have some teams in mind where you're like, I think this team might be better than the market. I think this team might be a little worse. These teams are obviously good. These teams are obviously bad. What's the team that has the widest range of outcomes, in your opinion?
Ooh. That's a good one.
Yeah, because, you know, every team, things break their way. They break against them. But what's the team where you can see, man, this could be spectacularly good. This could be spectacularly bad.
Yeah, the NFC North comes to mind. Because there's always – a couple of surprises, right? I mean, think back to last year. There was a couple of surprises, Giants in Seattle, for the most part. And then as a bettor, you know, you kind of look at your power rankings or you look at all these favorites, you look at all these great teams, and those are the teams in the playoffs. I think this year in the NFC, the Saints, I mean, the Saints could go to the Super Bowl. You know, if that defense plays like they've been playing and comes together and plays better, and then all of a sudden Derek Carr exceeds his ceiling and breaks through his ceiling and gets to another level. You know, they could win the division, one. And then you think about that dome, you think about home field advantage a little bit if they have a great year. And then all of a sudden, you know, in the NFC, you're looking at a team that really, from an odds standpoint, would be a big surprise if they got hot that way. And I think Atlanta is the same way too. But for the most part, I think it's a four-team race in the NFC. But to answer your question specifically, I think the Saints could be that team.
As good an answer as any, you know, because really, so many bullish on Derek Carr, and then there's so many of us that have observed Derek Carr, obviously intimately here in Las Vegas, beyond that, and are just like, all the talent in the world, but seems to make all the wrong decisions in the key moments of game. So I'm like, I'm not a buyer, but I can see that just based on your answer.
Interesting. And out of excuses too, because you know, he's always wanted a defense, right? Now he's got one.
Now he's got one, out of excuses. Mike, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great day.
Mike Pritchard, everybody, at MI Pritchard on the old Twitter machine. Still to come, Will Hill to join us with all his baseball and basketball thoughts, including how he's going to play his Shohei MVP bet, or how he already perhaps has played it. Jason Weingarten from Under Cloud of Smoke, and a Wimbledon update. Next, Numbers Game, VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VEASAN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Mike Tomlin, underrated.
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way. Too many to count. We don't have enough time. But VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Tatiana Maria does lose, so that drops our Wimbledon record to 4-2 on the Young tournament. 4-2.
Suck.
What's that?
You suck.
And Lloyd Harris has just just evened things up with Grégoire Barrère after he gacked the first set, which brings us to tweets. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from where did that one go? This is from Touchdown Jesus. He says, "I never fully understood your chosen verb, gack, for bad tennis losses until I watched that Harris first set today and actually made that sound out loud."
Your body involuntarily made that sound?
Gack! Chris Patrick, Florida sports betting, is it back? What do you know about that, Kelly? You're a Floridian?
Yeah, not much. Apparently, I pulled up this article though a couple breaks ago. Doesn't help out much. It's a lot of legalese, you know, where I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. Just speak English to me.
Kelly Bidlin.
Lawyers and doctors.
Not a licensed attorney.
Yeah, it looks like something changed with the Seminole tribe down there and how things are working out. So it sounds like it will be returning, and where the Seminole tribe does have stuff set up could be back up and running pretty quickly. So that whole Hard Rock situation.
You hear that, Calvin Ridley?
Yeah, with one wide receiver might be back open for business real quick.
Calvin Ridley would be like, I'm good. Never betting there again.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah. This is the injury report. It was everybody, you know, groin, this person, hamstring, Ridley, parlay.
Gambling suspension. Yeah, parlay.
Okay, so by the way, in terms of just the match, the highlight of the morning at Wimbledon, if there is one, and I think there is one, Maria Sakkari, she bageled Marta Kostyuk in the first set, 6-love, and then Kostyuk, the Ukrainian, comes way back. We were not involved in this match, by the way. But she comes back 7-5, 6-2 to win it. The eighth seed on the ladies' side goes by the wayside. And Iga, double parked outside. She rolls in the first set anyway against Sara Cerebus Tormo. Iga got a really favorable draw. So I hope everybody tailed on the Q1 bet and hopefully on the outright as well. even though we didn't bet it seven or eight times like we normally do. We have Iga on the outright. We have Iga with Djokovic. Come on, Iga. Do your thing. Try to get her fifth or fifth major and her first on grass.
Did you end up on anything on the men's side? Was that, did you say Djokovic? Did you
apply? I have the Djokovic Iga parlays, but other than that, I have no outrights. No. Which was the same thing we did in the French, right? We had the Alcaraz Iga ones, but we didn't have Alcaraz outright either. Which did not get there. So, okay. You said, so the interesting thing with Pritch that we just went through, by the way, because you and I were talking about this off air, is the question at the end about which teams have the most, you know, sort of wide range of outcomes as the construction work continues here at the South Point Hotel. And he faked us out because he went NFC. He's like, well, the whole NFC North. And you, I could see your face. You were like, oh, I totally agree with this. And then he went to the Saints. Obviously, not an NFC North team, but an NFC South team. That didn't resonate with you as much as NFC North?
Yeah, I think the NFC South, yeah, I understand why the Saints are favorite. I'm not confident in any of those teams. So, like you said about Derek Carr, I don't know that I'm ridiculously confident that the Saints are going to win that division, nor am I as confident as some others out there in both this Panthers and Falcons team, which I feel like we keep hearing more and more about.
People love the Falcons.
Yeah.
They love the Falcons.
I don't know about you. I don't think that's a division I'm doing anything with before the season
Not
starts.
Not a damn thing.
I think there are some divisions that are pretty dang wide open this year. I mean, Drew talked about it earlier, AFC North. I think you got four really good teams.
Were you buying what he was selling? Jesse Welch, by the way, chimes in on that on Twitter. He said, I've listened to Drew give an emboldened speech a few times before, and it's led me to cashing long odds tickets. I'll be along for the ride, he says, with the Steelers.
I think you could make a similar argument to the Packers in the NFC North, too, where the question is, is there that big of a separation between what the odds makers have is the top teams in those divisions and the bottom teams in those divisions. So I understand his point of being able to get over, well, you're getting 4.5 to 1 on a Steelers team that you think is pretty good. Okay, if you think they're going to have a winning record, what's really the difference there then between the winning record and going on and winning the division? You're talking about it, you know, it's a thin margin we're talking about, yeah. Right? So I think that's a case in the AFC North. I won't be making that Steelers bet, but I can understand why you would.
I'm right there with you. I would not make the bet, but yes.
And NFC North, same thing. I'm not high on the Packers, but I've heard a couple people throw out there of like, hey, you're catching plus 475 on the Packers to win that division. Are they really that much worse than the Lions, Vikings?
I don't hate that Packers bet at all.
Yeah.
Haven't made it, full disclosure, but I don't hate that one. And for the reasons I stated about Jordan Love, like the assumption that he's not going to be good, I think is a poor one to make.
Me too.
You have consistently, like, there's a lot of Kellyisms through the years. One, he's never met a Heat or Hawks bet he didn't like in basketball. That's the first thing. And then somehow when the Heat were going to the Eastern Conference Championship this year, he sort of abandoned ship. That was another story. But the other one was you always have a Vikings bet each and every summer. You don't have one this year?
I haven't made one yet. I don't know that I'm waiting for some of the other markets to open. I did see Circa release their alt win totals yesterday.
Yes,
so
that's big. Very big.
Gonna have to dig into that a bit.
May have to make a little trip to the old Tuscany to make an underbet there.
There you go. Yeah. I think I'll be involved with them this year in some fashion, but not, I don't know if I'm gonna bet to win the division. It was like, Mary, it was over 3-1 like a month ago. 2 months ago. At that time, I would have made it. +250.
And what is the chief reason that you have soured on the Vikings? I'll give you two choices. Is it that their defense was just so horrific at the end of last season that there's no, until you see a better defense, you can't possibly put a dollar behind them? Or is it this whole thing like they won so many close games? And this I sort of caution against, because since they won so many close games, everybody's like, oh, that is going to absolutely shift the opposite. And yes, regression ought to be expected, but there is no guarantee that it just goes the entire different direction.
Sure, and there's also a major difference between the NFL and Major League Baseball.
100%.
Right? You're playing 17 games. You could run pure for a while.
Yes, I mean, you know. Absolutely.
So, I think it's a little bit of both of what you just said. Yes, like that defense is pretty putrid. They didn't really get a whole lot better. I have concerns there. And yes, do I expect a bunch of some of those one-score games to go the other way? Yeah, you just lost one of the better running backs in the league. He's not going to be back with the team this year. I don't think it will be a huge hit to them with still having Alex Mattison in that backfield, but it's not going to help, obviously. I don't know that I'm fully on board with the Lions plus 130 in that division. It's just that division I think is very up for grabs.
And I would agree.
And I like all these people, like the one team I feel like I hear nobody talking about is the Chicago Bears, which I'm not excited about either, but if you're one of those people that were all excited about Fields and how that team kind of finished the season last year, why would you not be excited about him this year?
Yeah, they are the one team that I'm not looking at in that.
I'm not looking at all, yeah. But like nobody's talking about him.
Yeah, I don't. It is getting to the point though with the NFL where, you know, obviously Pete Rozelle's dream of parity every year is one thing, and yes, some years, again, any given Sunday, anything can happen, but in the end, it does feel a little haves and have-notty this year, more than it has in the last few years. Maybe I'm being prisoner of the moment, but I don't think anybody doubts the Chiefs and the Bengals, right, are up there. The Niners, if Brock Purdy is any semblance of what he was down the stretch last year, might be up there in the NFC, although some people might argue with that.
I think the AFC North's more up for grabs than that, but it's not because of the Bengals being bad or anything. I think the Ravens could be really good this year.
That to me feels like the team that people are forgetting about.
Yes.
Like there seems to be a unspoken Lamar Jackson backlash of, you know, maybe because of contract dispute last year and sitting out games where some people doubted the motivation of missing out on a whole bunch of those games. I don't know how legit that doubting was. But they to me feel like they're well coached, right? As Chrissy likes to say, Chris Andrews, John Harbaugh's, if Bill Belichick's the best coach of the NFL, John Harbaugh's the second best. Mm-hmm. Like he says that often. So I just feel like they perennially get sort of forgotten, and maybe that's a team we're all sleeping on.
Yeah, I think so. I'll probably have bets on them, but maybe not to win the division, but again, maybe over win totals, something like that.
Yes, to make the playoffs.
Yes, to make the playoffs, yep. For sure. I'll tell you, the one bet that I've made, I would still make. Jags to win the AFC South, lay the juice. What are we talking about here? I know there's been a couple people that have been randomly high on the Titans. I don't really get that. I think that AFC South could be an absolute disaster outside.
We'll have
Jags.
All summer to talk about it. Are you a preseason bettor, by the way? Do you bet preseason?
Nah, not really.
Yeah, I don't either. Not really my thing. But those that do, swear by it. Some people have success. If you know the length of time the starters are going to be in, specifically the quarterbacks, that's the information you need more than anything else in the preseason, but we're a ways away from that as well. Coming back, Will Hill, his baseball plays of the day, his basketball thoughts, how he's dealing with Shohei next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is always football season here at VSiN, which is why we've just released our NFL betting guide. Our NFL betting guide will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and get your newly released NFL betting guide, or take advantage of our summer kickoff special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $175. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. Once again, the tennis plays that have not started today, Maxime Cressy and Michael Mamot on the men's side, and Yanina Wickmeyer on the ladies' side. Although, again, the Cressy prices, you know, don't bet that higher than minus 145, because it has gotten away from us from when I released it a couple of days ago here. Kudermetova is actually tonight. That won't be played today. That's overnight, but you can put in that bet already on Veronika Kudermetova, who I have winning that quarter. She's taking on, I always forget, like, with the matches. Kudermetova, who is she playing again? There's so many of these matches that it's all scrambled in my head. Kudermetova is taking on, Marketa Vondrousova, who is quite the opponent, by the way. This will be no cakewalk, but I think Kudermetova will have enough to get there. Let's talk to Will Hill, everybody. He is a VSiN contributor, VSiN Zone. You can follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. That's two E's in the V. And he joins us now to fret about his Shohei MVP ticket. How you doing, man?
Gil, what's going on, man? No fretting anymore. I bought out a little bit, so I'm okay.
Okay, so explain what you did. You bet the field?
I did. Just, you know, for context, the night Denver won the title, they were like minus 177. It was like an hour after Denver had won the title. I forget if Shohei had a home run or two. And I remember at Bet Rivers, it was minus 177. You know what? This is about as good as it's going to get. So I went in for a decent amount. And last night I saw Shohei leave with an injury, and I've been worried he's going to be traded anyway, because the Angels have not played well here. They're sort of on the fringe of the playoff spot. And I didn't know the severity of the injury. I mean, you never know. And I'm sort of on edge with Trout being hurt. It's like, man, they could really fall out of this. And without knowing the severity of the injury, I said, you know what? It was plus 700. I went to bet it, moved to plus, you know, I got spin cycled a couple of times, plus 600, eventually got plus 560 on the field. So I don't know that it's a great bet. To me, it's just stress relief. I know that when the awards are announced, I can sit down and have my Christmas dinner and know I'm not going to get absolutely killed once they finally announce the awards in the middle of December whenever they announce them. So, I don't know that it's a great bet, but look, I mean, they're only two games over. They're a pretty sizable underdog tonight. So if that puts them at one game over, their next eight or nine games or so, Padres tonight, then they play at the Dodgers, they play the Astros, they play the Yankees without Trout. If Ohtani can't pitch, it's an interesting sort of philosophical thing here where, I mean, you know, they're five out, they're four, I think they're four out, five back in the loss column of the final wild card spot. If this gets to seven or eight, man, they went through this with Trout. Like, you know, you either got to re-sign him or you got to trade him. I mean, I probably put it like 25% chance they trade him. I don't think it's likely, but I just can't lose this guy for nothing if I'm the Angels. You got to kind of, you know, pick a direction, get a sense if you can keep or not. I'm sure Boris is his agent. I don't know that you can re-sign him, but it's a really, really tricky spot here.
I totally understand why you're doing what you're doing. I'm just going to repeat what I said at the beginning of the show, which is I don't think he's going anywhere. I really don't. I don't think the Angels ownership would do that. I don't think he particularly wants to go. And so I just believe that no matter the circumstance, that he's going to stay in an Angels uniform. I could be wrong, but that is my instinct on that. And again, for those
by
who...
By the way, you have to trade him to a National League team to kill your bet, too.
That's
so
correct.
If you trade him, okay. If you trade him to the Mariners, the Yankees, somewhere else, you're still alive as long as he's pitching and not shut down. And, you know, that is an aspect that's worth mentioning. Let me just ask you, though, what is the rationale? If this gets out of hand, if this doesn't go well the next few weeks and you're 7, 8, 9 out, you're just going to keep him for what? To play out the string and then maybe lose him in free agency and get a compensation pick in a few months?
I don't think you're going to lose him in free agency. Like, I think you'll never lose him. That's why.
Okay.
And I think for that franchise to be meaningful at all, he's going to stick around there, but it'll be a mutual thing. Just for context, by the way, for those who missed it, a day after Mike Trout broke his wrist on just an average swing in an eighth inning against the game on the Padres, where he breaks his wrist and now he's out for as many as 1 month to 2 months, depending on who you believe. Then Anthony Rendon with a contusion, a foul ball off his shin. That could get ugly today upon inspection. And then Shohei with the blister last night on the heels of a split fingernail. So that's why this scenario comes up with the Angels only two games above 500. And on the outside looking in the American League playoff picture. By the way, our Hanfman bet, and this is one of these things at Wimbledon where you just wonder if there wasn't a weather delay, what would have happened. But Hanfman was up 2-1. He couldn't break on a love 40 on Fritz's racket in game in the fourth set. Then it was 3-3 on serve here. They resume play, and immediately after Fritz holds his serve, he breaks Hanfman. And so the Hanfman dream appears to be over. With a +350 or +312, whatever got it. And it is over. Taylor Fritz beats him. So I know you were on that as well. So that's a brutal way to lose that one. There's an update for you. Ah.
Sure is. I have checked my phone about 100 times to see if it resumed. And it finally, I knew it was going to be one of those things where as soon as you don't check it for a minute, it's going to not only resume, but it's going to be over because it's just such a weird circumstance. And he was, I think, minus 300 at some point on Monday, which seems like a week ago now that the match actually started. So yeah, it's a tough one.
It's like the pitcher you back and then there's a rain delay after the second inning and your starting pitcher never comes back. And you're like, well, I didn't bet on this. I bet on an entirely different thing, but your bet stands kind of thing. Not quite the same thing, but yeah. So Fritz wins that. So we do lose the big dog in that respect. We do have some set points though with Lloyd Harris. Hopefully he catches and cashes one of those and goes up 2-1. Okay, so you bet the field as a sort of protective measure with Ohtani. What did you bet baseball today?
I laid a running a half with the Astros, and I hate laying a running a half. I almost never do it. But to me, the Rockies are just so bad. You mentioned all the time, and they're just, they sort of fly under the radar with how bad they are. Chase Anderson going, he has given up a touchdown basically each of his last three starts. He's been awful. I'm surprised he's still getting the ball here. I guess they just have no better options. He hasn't quite been Wainwright bad, but he's he's really in that territory here. And Houston's quietly starting to play a little better. I think it's 6 out of 7. They scored a bunch of runs against the Dodgers a couple weekends ago, hit well against the Cardinals. They won 3 out of 4 against Texas. They won comfortably yesterday. So I think Houston, be a little nervous if I'm Texas in that division. Houston's sort of gotten their mojo back. They've gotten their sea legs under them. I'm okay laying the run and a half against a bad pitcher. I'd also be okay with a team total over for Houston. I think they win this game, win it comfortably. I played under 5.5 in the first 5 with Washington and Cincy. Ashcraft going against Gray has been really good for the Nats, made the all-star team. He's sort of come into his own. Remember, he was the centerpiece of that Max Scherzer trade a couple summers ago. And Ashcraft is a guy, his numbers are ugly, but he finally pitched well. If you watch him, his stuff is good. He throws really hard. Everything moves. He finally threw a good game last Friday against the Padres, 7 strikeouts, a lot of soft contact. So I'm just going to go under 5.5. I think that's a big number. And I also played the Mets. I mentioned I'd be a little worried if I'm Texas. I think Arizona's in that same category. There's a lot of parallels here between Arizona and Texas. They're new, they're young, they're fun, they're athletic. They can score a bunch of runs. You just worry if they have enough pitching, and especially with Kelly hurt for Arizona. You look at the guys they throw out there every day, and I have bets on Arizona to make the playoffs. I have over bets. You just look at the starting pitchers every day. It's the Tommy Henrys of the world, Ryan Nelson, Zach Davies. The days Gallant doesn't pitch, they're in a lot of trouble. So I did play Senga here with the Mets. Mets quietly have won 3 in a row. Maybe they can make a little run and get on the fringe of the playoff race here, but I do think this is a good price on the Mets. So Mets money line, Astros -1.5, then under 5.5, first 5, Cincy and Washington.
Where do you feel, you mentioned the D-backs here, you're fading them today, you mentioned they're pitching and you're not really believing in it. Let's talk about the Rangers also juxtaposed against the Diamondbacks. Like, which of those two teams? Because I have the only season win total bet I made was the Rangers over. I have a lot of wins banked. I'm still confident in my Rangers over season win total, but there's a reason why I didn't bet them division or beyond. Do you feel in the end that both the Diamondbacks and the Rangers do not win their respective divisions?
Yeah, probably not. Probably not, just to answer your question. I don't know who's going to win that West, because I'm down on the Dodgers. They have not played well recently either. Royals beat them a couple times. They blew a game to the Pirates last night. I don't know who I would pick. I guess still the Dodgers by default with, they got Urias back. You're going to get Kershaw back at some point, you'd think. It doesn't sound too serious to make a move. So I guess I'd pick Dodgers by default, and I do feel like Houston overtakes Texas. So, yeah, I don't think either wins the division.
Got a minute left. Any basketball wisdom from free agency that you'd like to impart on anyone? Any hunches?
Not really. I'm confused where Dame goes. I don't buy this idea that you're just going to give him away to the Heat. Hey, you owe it to him to just give him away wherever he wants to go. I mean, to me, that's ridiculous. So not really. I think that could drag on for a little bit. So nothing too much.
You have any futures bets in basketball yet or none?
No, I don't really like any of the prices. I think the best bet's the boring one, which is Denver around +475. I just don't love, the West is deep, but I don't know who at the top is going to threaten them. To me, they're consistent. They have continuity. They got the best player. I think Denver, it's a boring answer, but I think Denver at +475 or so is probably the best bet. I don't think there's anything great out there.
All right. And remind us what your single favorite football bet that you have in pocket is right now is?
Under 7.5 for the Bears.
Under 7.5 for the Chicago Bears. Kelly was just talking about them. All right. Will, plug away. What do you got?
Twitch.tv/Goldboys Network, Goldboys Discord, 1 o'clock Eastern today, twitch.tv.
And what will you be talking about on there?
A little NBA Summer League, MLB card, little NFL, a little bit of everything, little sampler appetizer.
Oh, you're going to bet some Summer League, are you? Oh, interesting. Interesting. We'll get into that as the week progresses. Summer League beginning here on Friday in Las Vegas. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it.
All right. See you. Thanks for having me.
Will Hill at Not The Will Hill, VSiN's own. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. That Rose Zhang thing he said at the end yesterday. We'll delve into that next.
The Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Kelly, I'm Ron Burgundying through tweets. You ready for this? You ready? No?
Sure. Go ahead.
Scotty B726. You were talking about them. Oh, I don't know. There's typos here. But he's saying Green Bay, he believes, has the largest potential variance.
Yeah, I think they're up there.
I think they're up there too.
I totally agree.
Buddhist man. Did Drew say that Biombo Bismack picked up a stage 5 Liz Frank fracture on a mountain tour of the Pyrenees? Please confirm.
It was something like that.
Oh, by the way, speaking of that, did you hear Bol Bol got cut by the
Magic?
Yeah,
I did.
Which is not interesting at all, other than just because it's fun saying Bol Bol.
I love Bol Bol.
Bol Bol, yeah. Anyway, we appreciate everything on the Twitter machine. A lot of Mike Tomlin numbers there. Spreadopedia jumping on with us. And he is right now at Spreadopedia. Jason Weingarten from under a cloud of smoke somewhere in Southern Cali joins us right now. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Doing very well. I want to talk about one thing from yesterday before we get into Rose Zhang, which is the Adam Wainwright fade was just such a – you gave an awesome dissertation about it. You and I were aligned on that. I know we were not alone. And that worked beautifully. He immediately goes to the IL. So should we be pouring out a 40 for Adam Wainwright at this point?
I mean, it's like I said, it's just sort of the sad reality of guys who stick around too long. You know, like we always focus on the guys who have the happy endings and win the championship. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes you don't know when to quit. And now they're going to basically force him to quit. So I don't know if we're going to see him again. I don't know if there's anything he can work on. You know, they said, well, he's been pitching hurt. Maybe he needs to fix something. I mean, what's there to fix at 42, you know?
I believe I invoked the word obligation yesterday, which the only other time I ever said the word obligation was your obligation to bet the Nationals in the World Series when they ended up winning the World Series as dogs. This was an obligation yesterday. It absolutely was. Like if they keep, you know, Tim Lincecum, I mentioned earlier, he finished out his career ignominiously like this as well, right? It's just so sad to see when this happens. But when it is available to us, the better. The capitalist in us must exploit it. So there it is. Adam Wainwright falls by the wayside. There will be more opportunities in the future. We just have to be aware of them when they come.
Yeah. Absolutely. Always just got to be watching who's on the downswing. That's just like right. Who's on the upswing.
So yesterday, as we were late, some of your best bets that you give out on the show historically are what I like to call your Columbo moments. For those of a certain age, they'll remember the 70s detective show Columbo, where Robert Falk, who's this short little guy who played a detective named Columbo, he'd always wear his like London fog coat. He sort of had a, you know, strange sort of appearance. But as he left the room, sometimes he would say, oh, and one more thing. Right, which would always be like a question that he would use the answer to sort of solve a crime and put someone in jail. You do that a lot. You had Yordan Alvarez 200-1 once in here on the way out of a segment. Yesterday, you talked about Rose Zhang. The U.S. Open, the Women's U.S. Open, is here this week. It starts tomorrow. She is the short shot, her third career tournament. How heavily have you bet her here at 11-1?
I bet a little bit on her. Not going crazy because at this point, obviously, it's not a secret. Like if you go and check the Google News links on her, multiple major papers and weekly publications have, you know, feature stories on her this week. There's a lot of info out on her. Most of it's good. She's incredibly impressive, but you know, that's clearly not a secret. That said, like I still hope she wins. I still want her to win. I still think, you know, like it's worth betting. It's just not necessarily, you know, you're not playing with information that nobody has at this point. It's just how you approach it, I guess. Which is interesting because, you know, one of the things I like and what legalized betting has opened up is there were never, you could never even comprehend the possibility of a top 10, a top 5 market on women's golf or the senior tour. And a lot of times, you know, assuming you can get down on it, which is a challenge, but there's an incredible amount of value in betting top 5 and top 10 and stuff like this. You know, I'll gladly take Rose Zhang top 5 and top 10 this week.
Yeah, Rose Zhang is 11-1 to win it all, but at DraftKings she is also plus 250 to finish top 5. She is plus 120 to finish top 10. And if she is who we think she is, those are numbers. Again, this is one of these situations, right, where you try to, you know, be in the moment and think to yourself, okay, well, if she does turn out to be the Tiger Woods of the women's tour, right, or more appropriately, perhaps another Annika Sorenstam, right, or a Nelly Korda type who wins a lot of tournaments. I mean, maybe she is. I'll invoke Tiger. Maybe she does become the Tiger of the LPGA. If that's the case, we'll never see these numbers again, right? So even though it's known, the market doesn't have it priced in accordingly quite yet. These are still good numbers to bet into. And I don't know how you feel. I don't know if you feel if this is that moment in
time.
Well,
for me, it's more of a question like, why are you even booking top 5 and top 10 on the U.S. Women's Open to begin with? Like, you can't be, you know, booking more than, you know, a handful of bets in the entire market. So all you're doing is giving me an opportunity to bet somebody I like, you know, and take a plus money position. You know, I just don't get it. That's why I'm surprised these markets exist. I'm like not certain that they're going to continue to exist going forward. Yeah. Cause you know, there's not a market where you're going to grow the volume. It's just going to be me betting into it. And whoever's listening, you know, also say, no, I'm going to bet into that. So it's just a weird situation.
It's a sharp bettors market specifically. It will not be a widespread thing. It's like when Resorts World opened and they were booking F1 head to heads. And I heard somebody came from behind the counter and recognized me. He was like, yeah, they're going to learn the hard way on these, right? So those things that might not exist moving forward, but they do now. So they're available. Rose Zhang heading into the U.S. Open, women's U.S. Open, that is. Oh,
and the first round leader, by the way. We didn't even mention that. That's what I said coming off yesterday. She's 25-1.
25-1.
She set the course record there as like a sophomore. So
Pebble Beach,
you know, obviously
talking.
It doesn't mean she's going to just go out and blow everyone away.
No.
But you know, I would just like to see her go wire to wire and win this weekend. And, you know, it'd be nice to get a nice, easy, you know, winner like that for once, but you know, I'm not counting on it.
A la Tiger, who won the U.S. Open in dramatic fashion at Pebble Beach, just blowing away the field in his early days. What did you bet baseball today, Jason? In addition to the Wainwright fade yesterday, you had the Yeses first inning. Those went 3-6, I believe, yesterday.
Yeah, it started out good. It started out, you know, I think 3-0, and then it was all downhill from there. Today, there's no good numbers, fortunately, so I can't blow off another finger betting first innings. Yeah. But I hope nobody ended up blowing off a hand yesterday on 4th of July. But I like to think I got out of it with just maybe a finger blown off at 3-6.
What did you like today?
Couple interesting situations, like put on my, like, if I was a bookmaker hat, I bet the Reds are probably like one of the most popular bet sides today. Really makes me want to take the Nationals. It's another one of those, like, you know, like, remember last time I took the Nationals? It's not fun, but like the Reds, they're good. They're great. They're like the second best record in baseball since the first couple weeks of the season. Still they got some holes. They're not, you know, they're not the Atlanta Braves or anything, which brings me to my next bet. The Cleveland Guardians 146 at home to Mike Soroka and the Braves. I love the Braves. They're probably the most reliable team in baseball at this point. Like, you know, if you're going to ask who's the World Series favorite, who's the best team in baseball, I think you'd have to say the Braves, right? Maybe the Rays, if you want to put on your, like, you know, advanced analytics hat, but the Braves are so good. But you're giving me 150 at home with the Guardians here. I think I got to take that against Mike Soroka. I like both of those dogs today.
How much of these, Jason, just sort of pulling back the curtain, how much of these are just sort of the Malcolm Gladwell blink thing for you, where you're like, Guardians plus 150 at home, just instinctively you're like, I don't really need to delve much further. I know that to be an inflated number based on just my instinct on it, so I'm betting it. Like, how is it simple? Is it that simple sometimes for you?
Not particularly. I mean, it doesn't hurt to like look at something and be like, oh, that number looks odd, or try to sort of work it back from there. But mostly it has to do with the actual, you know, the pitchers and what happened with the bullpens yesterday.
Okay.
Obviously, going extra innings yesterday doesn't help either team, but
Guardians,
you just get
Guardians, what? Nats, and Rojang. That's what we've taken.
Yep, yep.
Okay. Rojang every which way. Place your bets. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Jason Weingart from Under the Cloud of Smoke.
Win some bets this weekend.
Yes, sir. Let's do it. Still Wednesday, but I get it. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy.